You ever tried to sing, O Come All Ye Faithful? There's some, if you sing it all by yourself, there's some high notes in there. This week we're going to talk, in our carol series, we're going to talk about the song, O Come All Ye Faithful. There's a story I heard of a man, I don't even sure where he's at now, but he was telling the story of going to a big conference, and it was a conference primarily for church people, Christian people, and so they're there at this thing, all of them are, and they're doing this kind of Christmas thing at the conference, where almost like a Christmas Eve service. Someone was reading a portion of Luke chapter 2, and then they'd stop, and they'd sing a Christmas carol, and then they'd read some more, and then they'd stop, and they'd read another Christmas carol. And they kind of went through this process a couple times, and they were on the third or fourth carol at this conference. And the man said that up in front of him a few rows, this lady just stood up and started kind of doing what we would think is like kind of a worship thing, right? So she's raising her hand, but everybody else is sitting, and she's standing worshiping. And he said his first thought was, what are you doing? This is a Christmas song. You don't do that to this, right? Like, you just sing it. We sing these all over. You don't worship to that. And then he kind of had this moment where he went, wait a minute. There's actually some stuff in this song that I probably should be worshiping with, and maybe this lady actually is getting something that I've missed for all these years. My hope is as we talk about these carols and we look at them, we say, maybe as we sing these every year, we'll see afresh and anew who it is they speak about when they speak of Christ's birth, what it means for us, and that we see some new life in them, just like this guy did when that lady sort of opened his eyes to the reality of the words of the song. So today it's O Come All Ye Faithful. This is week two. Why is it that so many carols begin with O, by the way? Have you noticed that? There's a ton of them. O come, O ye. Yeah, I'm just saying. O Come All Ye Faithful. It was written in Latin. It was written about 300 years ago now, 1740. It's getting pretty close to being 300 years old. It was originally titled the De Fidelis, and it's written by a guy named John Francis Wade. Another interesting part of this song's history is that it's believed that the melody line of this song came from a very popular French comedic opera. So at the time that he wrote the story or wrote the words, there was an opera in Paris, which is where he wrote the song, that was very popular, and he kind of took this central theme and plugged it into these words, and then we got kind of this chorus line for O Come All Ye Faithful. So another interesting thing about this song. There's something like 50 different translations that we currently sing of O Come All Ye Faithful. The one we sing most often today was translated in 1852. There's been as many as 8 verses to this song, but we pretty much just sing 4 now. And it's become one of the most cherished songs of the church. So just like last week, we're going to take an opportunity to listen and to hear the words and to meditate on them a little as we begin this session. So you're going to hear this morning, in its most probably classic setting, the song, O Come All Ye Faithful.
Thank you.
Isn't it amazing the different styles of music that we like? Some of you probably last week loved the modern sort of take, kind of clean and single tenor voices singing the song. This week, some of you were like, yes, choral music. I'm a little bit of a choral nerd, so I like that. Like, I like the big cathedral, echoey voices, tons of people singing. When I was in school, we got to go to England, and we didn't sing in that particular one, but we did sing in some of those cathedrals, and it's just something majestic about that environment, about hearing voices echo off stone and glass. It's a pretty cool thing. Oh, come all you faithful. Have you thought about the title of that song very much? Oh, come all you faithful, joyful and triumphant. That's the first line. It's the line we're going to look at for most of our sermon this morning. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. I know there's been times in my life when I thought of that line and I thought, I'm not sure I'm supposed to come. Those words don't sure sound a lot like how I feel right now. I don't think that I'm terribly faithful at the moment, maybe in my life, wherever I was at. I haven't maybe at that point felt too triumphant. I maybe haven't felt very joyful. And then I was singing the song saying, I don't know, am I supposed to sing this? Is this really how I am? Maybe that's a struggle for you as you think about this song. You think, okay, faithful. Maybe you're in the middle of something that God's called you to do, something you feel like he's laid on your heart, but it's just taken a long time, or it's not gone the way you expected. And you're starting to say, really? God, when is this going to happen? When are you going to come through on that? When is it actually going to show the results I'm hoping? And it feels like maybe faith is drained a little bit. Or maybe for you, it's just questioning faith in general. Maybe it's, I don't know, God, there's a lot of stuff going on in my life, and I'm struggling with it, and I'm not sure where I'm at. So faithful doesn't seem like maybe the right description. Or maybe for you, the word is joyful. When you think of Christmas, you think, I don't know about being joyful. In fact, there are some times when you feel joyful, and then you go to Walmart, right? I mean, good grief. Have you been to Walmart during the holiday season? Talk about a joy sucker. I went there on Saturday, and it was nuts. You know what I'm talking about? And I felt a little okay when I went there, but man, my joy was seemingly sapped after a few minutes. And have you seen people shopping at Walmart during Christmas? I mean, we are like head down, focused, no looking at anyone, right? And you're running over everybody. It doesn't feel like a very joyful thing. Or maybe there's been struggle in your family, and so joy is not something that it feels like is there. Maybe for you, it's that last thing, triumphant. We don't use that word very much anymore, right? But you're thinking, I don't really feel triumphant. I mean, when I look at my finances at this point in my life, I hoped I'd be somewhere better than I am. When I looked at my marriage this far into my marriage, I actually thought I'd be doing better. When I looked at my walk with God this far in, I thought I'd be doing better. And so then we sing, oh, come all ye faithful, joyful, and triumphant. And we think, I'm not sure that that's where I am. In fact, maybe my song is more like, come all ye faithless, depressed, and defeated, right? I mean, maybe that's how we feel. There's good news for that this morning. There's really good news for that this morning. If you look at your notes, you'll see this. Jesus didn't actually come to call people who were faithful, joyful, and triumphant. Through Scripture, we see that Jesus actually called the people that are a little bit more like the second. In Matthew 11, it says that Jesus calls the weary and the burdened. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. And just a few chapters earlier, he says, in fact, I call all sinners. That's who I'm after. I didn't come. He's actually at a meeting, right? This is one of my favorite lines because he says, I've come to call sinners, but he's at a meeting with a whole bunch of people that no one would want to associate with. That's where Jesus is at when he says it, right? And so he's at this meeting where if you and I were with these kind of people in our world, people would say, why are you eating with them? That's a little weird. Why would you go to their house for dinner, right? I mean, that's where Jesus is. And these overly religious people are saying, now why is he over there with those people? And Jesus says, I've come for these kind of people. I've come for people who know they don't have it all together, who understand that they're sinners. So we actually could write a song, come all ye sinners, ye weary and burdened, come to Bethlehem. And it would be accurate, I think, as far as Scripture says. But the great thing, and why I think this song is so valuable, is that the other song is true too. We are faithful, we are joyful, we are triumphant, but not because we are that way, but because Christ is that way. And so part of the holiday season for us is remembering all that Jesus has done. It's some of the reason I actually do love the first line of this song. We just finished this series in Ephesians, and we kept talking about in Christ we have certain things. That over and over in Ephesians, Paul kept saying, in Christ you are, in Christ you are. And there is this new thing happening, and so in Christ we are this song. We are joyful, we are triumphant, we are faithful. And that's what we're going to look at. Because 2 Corinthians 5 says that when we are in Christ, we are a new creation. So these things, which feel sometimes foreign, are part of the new thing that God is doing in us. They are part of the new thing that He wishes to do in our soul. And it points us to that reality. So these points are really simple, and you might even be able to guess them. But if you're following along, the first one is just Jesus helps us become more faithful. That Christ actually makes us more faithful. Hebrews 12 2 says it this way. It says, we fix our eyes on Jesus. Why? Because He's the author and the perfecter of faith. He wrote it, He knows it, and He did it perfectly. He understands faith. And the more we know Him, the more we grow to understand Him, the deeper our faith grows. In fact, later in Romans, Paul will say something along the lines of, when you hear this news about what Christ has done, it will cause faith to rise up in you. It's in chapter 10. If you want to look it up later, it says that hearing the good news of Christ builds faith in your soul. So this Christmas, when we fix our eyes on Christ, we're actually deepening our faith by hearing that story. One of the problems, I think, often when we read Scripture is we read it and go, what do I need to do differently? How should I behave differently? What should I do? And some of those are good questions. But that's not always primarily the question Scripture is trying to answer. It's primarily trying to tell us the story of Jesus, who Jesus is, and what He's doing, and how we become a part of that. I had a favorite college professor who taught Old Testament. I lost favorite professor, but this guy taught Old Testament stuff, and I took a lot of Old Testament classes. And as you can imagine, if you take a lot of Old Testament classes, they tend to be boring, right? So for all of you under like 13, this is like the first half of the Bible that you don't usually want to read, right? So that's the kind of classes I'm taking. But I loved this guy because at the end of every lesson, he always would say to us, now that we've done this study, now that we've looked at the history, blah, 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 what does this say about God? How is this pointing to Jesus? And that would be the question we talk about. Because all of Scripture is really just a story about Jesus. It's either pointing to Him coming, or it's talking about Him being here. Or it's pointing to a day when He will come again and building His church. So Romans says we fix our eyes on that. We hear that story of Christ's coming through Scripture, and it builds faith. So Christ makes us, Jesus makes us more faithful. So the song is true of us. It's why we do spiritual disciplines, right? It's another one of those things we feel like we have to do. I should pray. I should read my Bible. Like, we have that list of stuff. And it's okay to do it because it's on your list. But we really do it so we hear the story of Jesus more clearly. We do it so that we might hear in prayer from Jesus, and thus our faith, as Romans said, would grow. We spend time fasting. We do that so that our hunger might push us to remember the story of Jesus, and so our faith might grow. We read Scripture so we're reading and hearing the story of Jesus, and our faith might grow. We do all these things because they build faith, because it's Christ who does it. Jesus helps us to become more faithful. Maybe today is a day you don't feel faithful. Keep focused on Jesus. Keep hearing His story. Keep remembering what He's done. Listen to music during this season like these carols that remind you of all that Christ has done. And Paul says that'll build faith. That'll build faith in your life. Listen to the story. Ponder it. Wrestle with it. Faith comes from hearing. So Jesus makes us faithful, but if you've already guessed, He also makes us more joyful. He also makes us more joyful. Jesus makes us more joyful. For all the kids here, now this is like a different Sunday, and I need your help, okay? Because you're upstairs today, and adults are boring, and I need you to help me wake them up a little bit, okay? So I need your help. You got to help me with some actions. Now, joy is in a certain passage of Scripture that deals with the fruits of the Spirit, okay? And we're going to talk about the fruits of the Spirit, but to do it, I need you to do some actions with me, okay? So everyone who's under 12, you got to pay attention. Ready? I see Grayson's ready to roll, right? Okay, the first thing we need to do is we need to knock on our head just twice, just boom, 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 twice, boom, boom. Yeah, and if you're over 12 and you really want to knock on your head, you can. Okay, boom, boom, one, two, three. Okay, and then when you do it, I want you to make, can you make this noise? Okay, you're like, yeah, your head's hollow, right? I'm not making that assumption, but that's what it sounds like. Okay, that's going to be a coconut, okay? So I'm going to say coconut. Ready? One, two, three, coconut. Right, okay, that's number one. Number two is we're going to do a banana, okay? So you're going to have to stand up when we do banana because you're going to make your hands into one part of the banana, right? Like bananas are kind of curvy, right? So banana, okay, you got to do it like that. Ready? So we're going to go banana, boo! Ready? So we're going to do it together. One, two, three, you got to stand up. Banana! Okay, good job. That's the two things. Then we're going to do a little bit of a dance. You got to do a little bit of like whatever kind of dance you like for the next part, okay? When we do the fruits, you can do whatever you want. You can break dance. I know you like to break dance. Okay, so I need you to stand up. Now we're going to do coconut, and we're going to do banana, and we're going to sing a little song together about the fruits of the Spirit, and it's going to be on the screen, and it's okay if you don't know the words, just do the motions, okay? So here we go. Stand up if you're under 12, or if you just want to do the actions because you think it's fun, like me. Here we go. Maybe. You got this. I believe in you. Oh, we lost the volume. Oh, no, it's coming. No, it's not coming. This is the Fruit of the Spirit song. We're not going to do all of it. We're just going to do a little bit so we can wake everybody up. Here we go. Ready? Remember coconut? Banana. Very good. Okay, here we go. You hear coconut. Get ready.
The fruit of the Spirit is not a coconut. Fruit of the Spirit is not a coconut. If you want to be a coconut, you might as well hear it. You can't be the fruit of the Spirit, cause the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control.
Ready, here we go. We're gonna go banana. Same thing.
Oh, the fruit of the Spirit is not a banana. The fruit of the Spirit is not a banana.
Yeah.
You wanna be a banana? You might as well hear it. You can't be the fruit of the Spirit, cause the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control.
Okay, that's all you get. Your parents are awake now. That's all I needed. So if you want to sing that song later, you can go home and sing the Fruit of the Spirit song, right? Love, joy, peace, patience. That's the only way, by the way, I can remember all of them off the top of my head, is to sing that song. Love, joy, peace, patience. Okay, so there you go. Now you remember the Fruit of the Spirit. Joy, second one, right? We just sang it. Love, joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit. I've lived in Washington now for a little over a year. My wife's from Wisconsin, and both of those places, there are a lot of orchards, which I'm finding out here, right? Like, I've now been to Green Bluff, and I've experienced all of that. I imagine most of you have. So either you have gotten apples, probably, or you have possibly even picked apples off the apple trees. Why is it that apple trees produce apples? I'm looking for a really basic answer. It's because they're apple trees, right? I'm not looking for, like, the scientific reason. They're not like walnut trees. Those ground trees, I don't even know. But if walnut tree's not going to produce apples, right? An apple tree is going to produce apples. Joy, it says, is a fruit of the Spirit. It's something that grows in us because God is resident in our hearts and deep in our soul. That he has planted a seed there, and the fruit of which is joy. So we have it because of Christ, because of the Spirit's work in our life. We'll confuse it with happiness, though, right? We'll confuse joyfulness with happiness. Happiness happens because of happenings. Maybe that's an easy way to remember it. When good things happen in life, we often feel happy. When bad things happen in life, we often don't feel happy. Our happiness is really dependent on happenings. Joy has nothing to do with happenings. You can be joyful and not happy. That is possible. In fact, I think Scripture says it's pretty regular in our life. Joy comes from way deep down in our soul, and it's something that Luke says is what Christ brings. So when we sing these Christmas songs, he says, the angels appeared to the shepherds, and they said, what is Jesus going to bring? He's going to bring great joy. The truth that our souls are far from God, that we are alienated from him because of sin, that Christ came, that this baby is born, that news will cause joy, and even more, as the Spirit takes residence in our heart, that joy will become something we feel. It's not something we get because we try really hard. It's something that Jesus is doing in us. By continually surrendering to his Spirit, we become joyful. Rick Warren defined joy this way. He just said, joy is a settled assurance that God is in control. Of all the details of my life, the quiet confidence that ultimately everything's going to be okay, and a determined choice to praise God in every situation. I'll read that to you again. Joy is a settled assurance that God is in control of the details of my life, that the quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be okay, and the determined choice to praise God in every situation. Joy is not a feeling of happiness. It is something from deep within our soul that knows that Christ is in control, that ultimately everything will be okay because Jesus is the one who will bring all things to their ultimate fulfillment, and we can praise God because of that in every situation, whether they make us happy or not. So in Christ, because of Jesus, you are faithful, you are joyful, and you're becoming more so, but if you haven't guessed it, you're also triumphant. Jesus helps us be more triumphant. Have you noticed that a lot of times for us, the feeling of triumph can come because we're connected to someone else? In fact, there's a really great illustration I saw one time in a sermon, and I found it, and it's way better than what I can tell you. So this is an illustration by Sam Roberts about being connected to someone, helping us feel sort of triumphant.
I went to a movie with my older brother, Brian, and this was been a while back. I was in high school. He was in college. He was a college football player. I was not. I was a college basketball player. But back then, man, I was really thin. You think I'm thin now? It was like really bad. He used to run around. He used to call me. All his friends, they all called me a pirate. And I was never really understood all that. So I asked him one day, why you call me a pirate all the time? He goes, because you're running around looking for your sunken chest. And that's just wrong. All you little brothers in the house, everybody on church online, you little brothers are feeling my pain right now. You know what I'm talking about. And so, but he was a big guy. He was about 6'7", went in about 260, and he was ripped. He was thick. And so we go to this movie theater to go see this actor who doesn't do a lot of movies now today, but back in the day, he used to do all these martial arts films. It was Steven Seagal. And we went in there because it was just like going to, you know, you just, guys just love that kind of stuff. So we go together. We get in there. Well, we get there a little bit late. And we have to do we found some seats in the center. We had to do the scoochie slide, I like to call it, kind of like this, you know, to try to get where, well, that all works good for a thin little frame like mine, but you start getting my brother trying to come through there, and that creates all sorts of problems, because he's got legs that look like tree trunks, and he's trying to scoot by, and there's human man, and, you know, he's moving through, and this is back when they had those seats that rocked a little bit in the theater, y'all remember that? And his thighs bumped the seat of the guy in front of us, and it made the chair kind of rock a little bit. Well, this old boy, he's sitting like this, and this is what he does to us. He goes like this. He's sitting there, he goes. It was this awkward. It was just kept going this long, and I'm sitting there like, whoa, this guy, he must have just watched a fight scene or something, because he wants some, and I don't want to give him any. And I got a Coke, and if he turns around, I'm going to throw my Coke in my hand, and I'm going to look for the exits, and I'm out of here. I'm busting out, because if I get into a fight, I'm going to get snapped like a twig. So I'm trying to figure out where the closest exits are and all that. Well, my brother goes to sit down, and he looks up, and he sees the guy, and he's kind of like, oh, whatever, he doesn't pay no attention. Hands me my popcorn. He looks back, and I mean, it's going on for an inordinate amount of time. This guy just sitting there staring at us. And I'm like, oh, no. Well, my brother looks at him. Finally, my brother gets up about this far from his face. He just says, you got a problem? And the whole theater was like, whoom, because it was loud. And that guy about wet made a puddle on the floor in front of him because he didn't know what he had bitten off. And I'm like, yeah, you got a problem? What? You want some? You want a little of this? What on earth happened? I went from cowering in my chair, looking for exits, throwing Cokes on people, to you want a little of this? What happened? I realized that there was a 260-pound, 7'6" football player that got my back. That's what happened.
I don't know if you've ever had a moment like that where all of a sudden you're with someone, and because of that person, you feel far more triumphant in that moment than you probably should. Right? I've seen it in movies where someone comes up and the person in front of them is scared because of what they see coming behind, right? But the person thinks it's them. That's the truth of you being triumphant in Christ. It's not about you having been triumphant. It's that Christ is triumphant. It is that the one who we worship as having grown up in being born in that manger is the one who became the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the one who is, as last year, if you remember, I know this is a long time, if you remember our Christmas series last year, we talked about Isaiah 9, and it said he's the Wonderful Counselor. He's the Almighty God. He's the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That is the one who is with you. And because of that, you are triumphant. You know, we have these little manger scenes. Do you have one of these? These little things at your house that you put together? And we have one. They're cute. I like them. I grew up with one, right? And we used to put ours underneath the tree. And we had a little baby Jesus that looked kind of just like this one, for the most part. He was in a little manger and crib. These are really cute, right? I mean, they're like, my mom liked Precious Moments. These remind me of like Precious Moments things, right? Like, oh, it's so cute, right? Like the guy in the video with the angel. Oh. And so we can come to Christmas, we can come to the birth of Christ and kind of have this, which we should have a little, this sort of surreal feeling of like, oh, that's cute and wonderful, and it's a baby, and it's so neat, and Mary had it. And we can forget who he really is, right? We can forget that that baby, as we sang in the songs this morning, is God in the flesh. That all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. That he is the one who has created all that we see. And sometimes we just look at this little baby figure in our things and we go, we just forget it. And we miss that we are triumphant because that baby came. Because we are with him. So Jesus makes us triumphant. We're not triumphant on our own. He's made us that way. He is born the King of Angels. We come to adore him, the song says, for he is Christ the Lord. He is triumphant. I don't know how you came to church this morning. I don't know how this Christmas season has been for you totally. Has it been one where you felt more defeated and weary and weak? Where the song hasn't felt true? I hope today as you think of that song, you think, with Jesus coming, I am. Maybe I don't always feel it. I am joyful. I am faithful. I am triumphant because of the birth of Christ. It is the great truth of the beginning line of that song. Oh, come all ye faithful. You're joyful. You're triumphant. Jesus makes us those things. And he is continuing to make us them more and more. He is continuing to build our faith. He is continuing to build in us joy. He is continuing to show us how triumphant he is and that in him we are. Oh, come, let us adore him.